I'd like to have you take your Bibles and come to Joshua chapter 13, a New Year's outlook, setting the course for the year. I believe that this probably on point will apply to everybody here with maybe one single exception that would become obvious during the course of the message. Would you bow with me for prayer? Now, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the blessing of this Lord's Day and for the opportunity we have to be together in Your presence to finish out this day. We're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to see faces and to hear voices and to catch up on things and to be reminded of things. And we look forward, dear Heavenly Father, the same tonight. As we look into the Scripture, help us to give consideration to this historical narrative with a present-day application. We're thankful, dear Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of God is the same today as was there in the day of Joshua, and with the same task today as was given to those folks in their time. And now, as generations have come and gone, we are charged with the responsibility to be faithful and win and influence our generation for Jesus. Help us to do that. Help us, Lord, this year to be faithful to You, for we ask it in the name of our Savior. Amen. Joshua chapter 13, a New Year's outlook. Verse 1, we will read that Joshua was old. And furthermore, stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, first thing I take note is God still talks to old people. He does. The Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. Do you think the Lord has a sense of humor? As if Joshua needed to be reminded. Thou art old and stricken in years, and please notice then the next, what he says. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Very much land to be possessed. Spoken to old Joshua. When we outline this, which it does here in these six verses, gives a description of the land that remains. And if you are skillful in Bible mapping, you will notice that it is a considerable piece of geography. Not only is it the land that is at issue, but the people in the land that are to be considered too. Essentially, all of the ites that are listed there are to be dislocated, relocated, removed, with good reason. God had advised them that if, should they fail to do that, that the people that would remain would essentially be a thorn in their sides all their days. And so when we look at this, we come to verse number 13. It says, Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Geshurites, nor the Maacathites. Those two dwell among the Israelites until this day. Possessed. God is not giving here to Joshua anywhere in this book an option or an exception. We can't afford, any more than Joshua could, we can't afford exceptions. To possess is to admit of no exception with regard to the land that is outlined here, but by application to the land of our lives. So there is a historical interest in this text, but by way of application, you might reckon with accuracy that the land that they would be concerned about has to do with your life as you live it today, that there are to be absolutely no exceptions made or accommodations made for any type of ITE in your life. None. Now, practically, how does that play out? Don't lose your place here in Joshua. We're going to come back here in a moment. But come with me to Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 22. Here is good counsel. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Dealing with the practical application of expelling the ites from the land of your life. Verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so we look at this and we take note that we are to be off with the old, out with the old, on with the new, in with the new. The old man here we would cast as the life in type that you lived prior to your salvation. And in those early days of your Christian experience, where you were as a babe in Christ. And as you grow in grace, there are certain things that are not to be identified with a mature, growing adult. You can pick any one of a number of items that are peculiar to infants physically. There are things that mothers and fathers carry around for their comfort and their convenience, that should not be something that an adult Christian drags around with them from place to place as they grow older, maybe with some exception there. But where the new man is concerned, that is the new man that was created in Christ Jesus in such a place as is outlined in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Old things passed away, all things are becoming new. You have experienced that as a child of God. When you were first saved, you can look back with grateful appreciation to God the Spirit, in that He has put a distance between what you were once to what you are now. You are no longer the same person you were 10 years ago, and you're certainly not the same person that you were the day after God saved you. You're different now. There is that anticipated maturing that takes place in a child of God. And so in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, we are counseled there by the apostle to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other side of that, in Matthew's Gospel, at chapter 9, verse 16 and 17, it reads this way: No man puts a piece of new cloth onto an old garment to mend. When that occurs, as it is depicted there in Matthew chapter 9, the hole only gets worse and worse, or worser and worser. And so we have counsel here out of Ephesians 4 that we are to cast off certain things, old habits, old ideas, old interests, things that do not serve in any wise to build up your faith. They do not lend to your spiritual construction. On the other hand, we are to gravitate to, cling to, and we are to be drawn by those things that do build up our spiritual life. More on that. So, then, old friends, does the Lord have a place and a purpose for you? I say old friends, and I mean that two ways. Old in the sense that most of you here qualify for that designation by simple default, exception being to my right. And old in the sense that you have been friends for a long time. So we already know reading out of Joshua chapter 13 that the Lord still speaks to old people. Does He have a place for you? Does He have a purpose for you as an old person? Let's look at this. In Luke chapter 1, let's just let this be where we find it. In Luke chapter 1 and the 18th verse. Man by the name of Zacharias, in verse 18. He's being informed, as was a man in ancient Israel history. Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife, notice how he phrases this, and my wife well stricken in years. Now remember, Joshua was told by God that you was old and stricken. Zacharias here is admitting to being old, but his wife is the one who is well stricken. The angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, old man, and to show thee these glad tidings. There was going to be a birth in the family to an old man and to a woman well stricken in years. So I ask again the question, does God have a place and a purpose for you? And you might, upon reading this text, you might say, well, yes, He does, theoretically, but thank you very much. I just assumed that He passed this instance by. Please notice also the notation in verse 36. Verse 36, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. Her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Now imagine being to come to a place in life and you think you've ducked it. And finally, at the end, when you think the season is well nigh past, all of a sudden, a baby presents itself in your womb, an old woman. God had a purpose for her, as He had a purpose for the child who would be born of her, be John the Baptist. He would be the forerunner of Christ. So here it was that He waited all these years and gave to a woman who was called barren a child. One of the most significant figures in all history, John the Baptist. Do you remember the commendation that the Lord Jesus showered upon John the Baptist? Do you remember what He said, what He said about him? There is none as faithful, none faithful like the man. Do you remember what happened to John the Baptist? He was beheaded. And do you remember why he was beheaded? Because he dared speak up to a man in authority about his morality. So God had a place for Zacharias and his wife. Then please follow me to Acts 21. Acts 21. Generally, when a person reaches a certain milestone in their age, they are not looking for a lot of work. But in Acts 21, at verse number 16, there's a man mentioned here. Who's all he had to do, I just say all he had to do, because what he was required to do or called upon to do was very important. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, who is said to be an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. The man's purpose at this point in life was to open his dwelling to visitors and travelers. Then, of course, you are all familiar with what you remember there in Romans chapter 4 and verse 19 about Abraham. Romans 4 and verse number 19. Now, this New Testament commentary is more staggering than the Old Testament narrative. There in the 19th verse, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now, how is it described? Now dead. When he was about 100 years old, about. I guess when you get to that area, it really doesn't make any difference if you are exactly or you aren't. He's about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God had a purpose for this old couple. Out of this old woman's womb would come the son of promise. It's interesting to me how God singles out at least two instances in the Scripture whereby old women are used in such momentous fashion. And then you pile on top of that Mary, much younger, but nevertheless what God accomplished in her body was just as momentous as He did in the womb of these old women. So I come back to the question again. And by the way, the purpose is to defeat old Satan, the old serpent, as he's called in the book of Revelation. And he's old. He's old. He's real old. I don't know how he gets around. But he's old, and he's stuck in his ways, terminal. So the question comes back again. First of all, does the Lord speak to old people? Do you suppose that there is a place and purpose for you in 2016, old friend? Do you suppose so? Are you willing? Let's go back to Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 14. We go from a New Year's outlook to a New Year's attitude in Joshua 14. We come to the 10th, 11th, and 12th verses. Moses is dead. Joshua is the new leader. The wilderness wanderings are over. They've crossed over the Jordan. They've bypassed Jericho. They've had some victories militarily and Ai. They conquered those people. They started removing the ites. They were tricked. They were tricked by the folks in Joshua chapter 9 who who, realizing that the army of Israel was coming to exterminate the ites in the land, faked out Joshua and his leaders. They faked them out. They made themselves out to be travelers from a far country so that they would at least find some mercy at the hands of Joshua. That was notwithstanding, we look here at verse 10, a New Year's attitude. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 40 and 5 years. All right, now, 40 and 5 years. Watch my lips. 40 and 5 years. The arrow is still pointing up for you three. Still pointing up. Two of you will soon reach that quicker than the other. But this 45 years mentioned here is piled up on top of 40 more. Now, I do my math like you do your math. And I say, 40 plus 40 is 80 plus 5 is 85. 85. Okay, now. Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. Good thing for old people to remember. Your life, every minute of your life, is in the hand of God. Okay? Your life and my life will be at an end when God has no further purpose for us, when we have fulfilled His plan for our life. I mean, I wouldn't want to live 1 minute beyond what God has planned for me. But he says, God has kept me alive. As he said, these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Please notice, this is not a false brag here or a humble brag in verse number 11. He said, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, I don't know. I suppose that there could be some here who could make that statement and do it without grinning. But if you're honest and transparent, you would have to admit, along with me, that I am nowhere near strength-wise where I was 30 years ago. It is not there anymore. There's no sense wearing muscle shirts out anymore. There's nothing to flash. There's no sense wearing spandex t-shirts to show off the biceps whenever you go out in public. No, there's no sense. Everything sags. That's why they call them the sagging 60s. But he says, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Now, what he's saying is, look, back then, old Joshua and I were well equipped. We did that missions trip, so to speak. And we went and checked out the promised land, and we brought back the report of how nice it was. But we were voted out. We got voted down. So I got to tell you, too, that age that I am, 60s, I'm not looking to go on any missions trip. Matter of fact, I kind of look for flat places to go. Even places. Even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, here's the attitude. The New Year's attitude. Give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. Now, you know, psychologically speaking, if you give any sense what all or any credit what all to psychology, which I give very little, back in the day, when they saw the Anakims, otherwise known as the giants, there in the land, huge men, 8 feet, 9 feet high, prodigious warriors, one of the red flags should have went up was, well, if they're all that big and tough, why do they build fences and walls around their houses? But he saw all that. He said, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. New Year's attitude. Caleb at age 85 says, give me this mountain. And he's talking, what I gather, the mountainous region that surrounds the, on the map you would see Hebron. A mountain range, actually. Please notice that it is a mountain, it is not a valley. I've taken wise counsel from people. I don't jog anymore. And I only run absolutely when necessary and downhill. I never look uphill to run. Please notice it was a mountain. It wasn't a flat plain area. Mountains. Now, I don't know what kind of a grade it takes you when you're walking for your exercise, and I probably think most of you do some kind of that. I do not know what percentage of a grade elevation it takes for you to get your heart rate up. Depends on the person. But I've noticed over the years that the grade doesn't have to be all that much significant to get the heart going and your breath short. And once arriving at your point of destination, you get to the top and you got to stop, catch your breath before you turn around and go back. And I guarantee you that going back down is much easier. Much easier. Caleb says, I want the mountain. Climbing will be necessary, not coasting. Now that goes to attitude for the new year. We can have an attitude in which we, like Caleb, will say, give me the mountain, Lord. I'm not interested in coasting along. As a matter of fact, in your hymn book, look at 291. 291. You got that in front of you? Sing with me. Sing with me. A cappella. Okay? Well, did I communicate what I wanted to get done? Case closed. Sing with me. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The second verse. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The last verse. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Let me conclude with in Joshua chapter 15 for this evening. A New Year's confidence. In Joshua chapter 15, verse 14, we have this note. Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, the giants. Their names are there. And his confidence rested in the Lord. Going way back, 45 years previous, here's his confidence. If the Lord shall be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. I shall be able to drive them out. So if you look back at the beginning of the campaign, back in the first chapter of Joshua, this new year, and we will look at later, just think about it for the next week. The year 2016, there may be some Jordans to cross. Some of us may. There may be Jericho's walls to scale or walk over. And there may be jerks that you will have to deal with. I would highly recommend a book to you by Minrith and Meyer. A long time wrote a book, Don't Let Jerks Get the Best of You. Classic. Classic. But you'll find them everywhere you go. And they have the capability of knocking you off track. With New Year's confidence, as we face renovating the land of our lives and removing the ites from before us so that we can possess the land, proceed with that same confidence that this man had. If the Lord shall be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. And that he did in verse 14. Problem was, the cowardice of the people 45 years ago allowed the giants to live 45 years too long in the land that wasn't theirs.